Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, see that glorious banner go, brothers and sisters. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 8th of September, 2017. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes. Actually, it's the story of the assembler, okay, the Koheleth. And we're going to be in chapter 8. And we will be probably either finishing Monday. I would say we'd finish next Monday, depending on how far I get today. There are 12 chapters. I don't know whether I'll can do four in a day here. Well, three is the average. But this is much deeper than a lot of people give it credit for. It is the observations of Solomon on his own life and what he's seen in life. Very, very similar in many ways to Proverbs. And he seems a little depressed in this book, because he's realizing a lot of his life was in vain. All the things he accumulated, and the power he accumulated, and the fame he accumulated. A lot of the theme is, you know, what is it all good for that I've got all this stuff? I'm going to die like other men. Good men or bad men, we all seem to die. Well, yeah, that's true. At least so far, unless Yeshua comes back within my lifetime, which I'm hoping for. Hey, you know, who knows? Who knows the way things are progressing? But always have hope. Have hope in Yahweh always. Always, always, always. So let's start in chapter 8, verse 1. Who is as the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a matter? And Adam's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the strength of his countenance, they have face here, its countenance, they have strength, or they have boldness instead of strength, of his countenance shall be changed. 81:32. Now, I'm going to go to the scriptures. Who is like a wise one? This is their interpretation, and it's good. And who knows the meaning of a matter? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. Well, let's go back to the KJV and see what they've got here. The boldness of his face, okay? The might or the strength, the material or physical, okay? personal, social, or political boldness, the might, the strength. And that's how I interpret it. The strength of his countenance. Let's see here. This face, his presence, his person, the strength of his presence shall be changed. Okay, and they got changed. 81:32, to alter, to change. That's pretty accurate. Sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. King James is got a lot of inaccuracies in it, but sometimes they're on. And when they're on, I'm going to say they're on. I'm not going to just bash them without cause. They give me enough cause to bash them. But when they're right, they're right. They're pretty close in some ways. Pardon me. I couldn't catch that one. Verse 2, this is about obedience to the king. Counsel you, in the King James, is implied. Okay? And they have say in italics. The scriptures. So that word is whatever word they want to put in there is for clarity, but it's not actually in the Hebrew. So it says I something, you know, whatever you want to insert in there, say or warn you or to keep. That's 80, well, I couldn't catch that one either. 8104. The king's commandments. For the sake of the oath of Elohim. Just because Elohim has anointed him to be the king. He's allowing him to rule at that time. Verse 3. Be not hasty to go out from his presence. Stand not in an evil matter. Do not stand up or uplift an evil matter. Okay, for he does whatever pleases him. Verse 4. Were the word of a king, and they have is inserted, and then they have there is inserted in italics for connection in the English. So it would read, where the word of a king is, there is power. 7983. All right. And that is Shiletzon. Shiletzon, that's a potentate, okay? Mastery in the Brown Driver Briggs definition. He's master of his kingdom. And who may say to him, what do you do? What are you doing? Okay, nobody can question him. Cut your head off. Whoever keeps the commandment, that's a royal commandment, shall feel no evil thing. Well, that would be a thing of harm here. And they have 7451. Is bad or evil, disagreeable, malignant, unpleasant, displeasing, Let's see what their translation is. Knows no evil matter. Okay. Actually, the scripture's translation is much, much better than the King James. They are much more accurate. It's a much more accurate book. They've done their research and corrected so many things. Whoever keeps the commandment shall feel no evil matter. Shall know, actually, feel 3045 is yada, to know. No evil matter. And a wise man's heart knows both time and judgment. They have discernment in the King James, but it's to know. And discernment is an offshoot of to know, so I'll let it slide. Verse 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man, the misery of Adam is great upon him. Now misery is 7451. That's harm or calamity, evil. It's used so many ways, but always in a negative fashion. And this one I can get. Oh boy. Verse 7. For he knows not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? In other words, you can't predict what it's going to be. There is no atom that has mastery over the spirit to restrain the spirit. That's so true. The spirit will have mastery over you, not you over the spirit. Neither has he power in the day of death. When it's time for him to die, he's going to die. And there is no discharge in war. In other words, you can't escape. If you go to war, you're in the war. And if you try to escape the war and you run, you'll be executed for cowardice in battle and desertion. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that own it. So the wicked, their wickedness, whatever they want to do, it won't help them. They're hit. And here he has. Boy, I got a lungful. Life seems unfair. That's what they have in this book as to this section. All this I have seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. Again, under the sun, in this world. There's a time in which Adam rules over Adam to his own hurt. Verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They were in and out. They had been in there doing wickedness, and now they're gone. They're dead. Enemies had died, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. It's worthlessness. Their little petty nastiness isn't worth anything. Well, we've got a lot of nastiness going on today, but after the judgment day of Yahweh over these wicked people, what is all their power on this earth going to mean? It's not going to mean doodly squat. That's what he's saying here. Verse 11, because sentence against, that's a judgment and sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. In other words, they don't get instantly punished. Therefore, the heart of the sons of Adam is fully set in them to do evil. They think they're going to get away with it. And how many evil Adamites are out here helping the children of the adversary do his evil? There's a lot of Adamites that are wicked. And unless they repent and turn away from their wickedness, it's going to come back on them. They're not going to make it. They're just not going to make it. They won't make it into the kingdom. They'll be numbered among the goats and be cast in the lake of fire. We try to tell them. Perhaps you also do, you that witness, and they'll turn aside. They won't listen to you. So you shake the dust off your feet and you move on. Once they've heard the word, they can't unhear it. And if they ignore it, that is a choice that they make. Yahweh is not looking for puppets. That's what the Jews do. They have their puppets. Well, Yahweh doesn't want puppets. He wants his children that love him to come to him. And that's the process that we're going through now, gathering the remnant of those who love Yahweh. And as King David did, his laws. If you love Yahweh, you got to love his laws because they're so pure and clean and right. And they just make so much sense. And I always say the food laws. Don't eat these garbage animals that carry toxins in them. Don't eat the unclean thing. Why? Because it'll hurt you. And Father Yahweh doesn't want his children hurt. So he tells us, don't eat this. Don't eat swine. It doesn't expel the toxins. It retains them in its flesh. It's poisonous to us. Destroys the immune system. It's bad. Verse 12. Though a sinner, that's 2398, that's one who falls short of the mark of duty or obligation. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be with them that fear or hold in awe Elohim, which hold in awe before him in his from his presence. Hold his presence in awe. Verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow. 6, 7, 3, 8. Because he fears not or holds not in awe in the presence of Elohim. It's not going to help him. Doesn't matter how long he lives. Verse 14. There is a vanity, a worthless thing, which is done upon the land. And there are just men. Righteous men, unto whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Look around us today and see the wicked doing wicked things to good people. Again, there is wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. Justice comes on them. I said that this also is vanity. It's a worthless thing. It doesn't mean anything. That's his opinion. Verse 15, then I commended mirth because an Adam has no better thing under the sun. There it is again. In this world, he says there's nothing better in this world than to eat, drink, and to be merry. Well, that's Solomon's opinion. But what happened to him at the last? What happened to Solomon? He had all those pagan women and made all those pagan statues and did all that pagan stuff, and his wisdom that he was known for came to nothing. It was worthless. All right, I commended mirth because an Adam has no better thing under the sun in this world. That's without Yahweh in this world. That's the best you can do in this world. Eat, drink, and be merry, for that shall accompany with him of his labor the days of his life. In other words, he's earned his right to party a little bit, which Elohim gives him under the sun in this world. We have certain things in this world, and we will have certain things in the next world according to Yahweh's judgment. This world and the next world are not the same. What we do here, what we can get away with here, and all the stuff that's going on here is not going to happen in the next world. There won't be all this temptation and wickedness and evil. Verse 16, when I applied my heart or my mind to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the land, then they have in parentheses, for also there is neither day nor night. For also neither day nor night sees sleep with his eyes. Verse 17, then I beheld all the work of Elohim that an Adam can't find out, the work that is done under the sun. That an Adam can't find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though an Adam labors to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise one thinks to know it, yet he shall not be able to find it. In other words, the works of the divine being are beyond our understanding. That's what he's saying right there. Now we're in chapter 9, beginning the ninth chapter here. It may go on in this vein a bit. I'm putting a red line to show that I've got that far. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Let me get a little water. I'm sorry about the sirens in the background. Evidently there's a fire or something. It's a holiday and I'm recording this on Monday, Labor Day. For all this I considered in my heart, in other words, his mind, 38:20 also means mind, even declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand, in other words, under the power of Elohim. No Adam knows either love or hatred by all that is before them. Verse 2, chapter 9. All things come alike to all. There is one fate, to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that swears as he that fears an oath. Verse 3, this is an evil among all things that are done, again, under the sun. That's in this world. This dominion with the concept of being without Yahweh's influence. There are just certain things that are just here. There is one fate unto all. Yea, also the heart or the mind of the sons of Adam is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. Yep. That's where everybody winds up so far. There were those that Yeshua raised, and they caused the body to be damaged enough that Yeshua finally released his spirit and it suffered death. But his body didn't stay dead. After 3 days after it was changed into a glorious body, he took up life in it again. And boy, did that make the devil upset and his children upset. Because he said, I will raise this temple in 3 days. And he did it. And the temple was the temple of his spirit. And they couldn't see that because they couldn't understand his words because they were not of his sheep. Well, we've been given to understand that. Isn't that a blessing to us? All this knowledge that has come out, and the fact that we can buy scriptures and study them instead of just going to the temple to hear a priest read the Torah once a year. Isn't this a blessing for knowledge to be passed to the children of Israel? That's an act of love by our Father in heaven. Verse 4 of chapter 9. For to him that is joined to all living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Oh-ho! Lion was mighty while he was alive, but the dog is still alive. So he's better off. Pardon me for a second. Living dog is better than a dead lion. Verse 5. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Once you're dead, you're dead. You just pass away and people forget you. Verse 6. Also their love and their hatred and their entry and their envy is already perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. In other words, in this world. They have no influence here anymore once they're dead. No matter who they were in life. They're just a corpse now. Verse 1980. Go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart. For Elohim already accepts your works. Already accepts your works. Oh, I went too far. I'm on verse. Already approved your works. Let's go to the King James. See what they've got. Accepts to be pleased with. Ratzah. To be pleased with. Be favorable to. To accept favorably. Okay. Verse 8. Let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no oil. That's anointing of olive oil. Verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you loves all the day of the life of your vanity. your worthless life, which he has given you under the sun in this world, all the days of your vanity. For that is your portion in this life. In other words, you're going to live and die, and it's all going to pass away. It won't mean a thing. He's pretty depressive in some of these verses. And in your labor, which you labor under the sun in this world. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. 3:5:8:1. See, that's strength, power, might. Okay. Do it all with your might, for there is no work, nor reason, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol, where you go. Now, they have the grave, but it is not the grave in the Hebrew. It says Sheol. Now, what is Sheol? I've explained it in other dissertations that I've done. It is the land of the dead and its inhabitants. That's what Sheol is. Verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun in this world that the race, as in a race you run with your feet, is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. In other words, you're not guaranteed anything because of your behavior. That's his opinion, okay? Impact, casual, chance, occurrent, an occurrence, a chance happening. In other words, you never know what's going to come up. That's what he's saying here. You're not guaranteed just because you're doing right to win over against evil. Sometimes evil prevails in this world, and there's a reason for it, and only Yahweh knows why. And we are not entitled to an explanation. Before we go there in our minds, well, why doesn't he tell us? Well, because he doesn't have to. He's got a grand plan, and we're going along with it, whether we like it or not. Deal with it. Yahweh's at the top of the pecking order, not us. That's got us in trouble time after time after time after time, thinking that we are entitled to an explanation. We have the right to question Yahweh. You have to get over that. Verse 12, for Adam also knows not his time. That's right. We don't know how long we're going to live. I could die tonight. I could die in 15 minutes. That's under Yahweh's province. But as long as he gives life to this body and blesses me, I'm going to do everything I can to serve him while I'm in this temple of flesh. And when he wants me to come home, he'll bring me home. And there's no power on earth that can change that. There's no arguing with Yahweh. For an Adam also knows not his time, as the fishes that are taken hold of in an evil net. Well, now that they have evil again here, they translate that word as evil. Well, it would be evil or harmful to them, okay, in their concept, to be caught like a fish. I guess it would be evil. It has so many uses, and they genericize it. They always put evil in the King James. They just can't get away from that. Same way, all the different types of men, they just translate them all as men. But they don't tell you the type. They got man in this sentence, but it's not an Ishman or an Enosh man or a Geber man. It's an Adam man. For Adam knows not his time. He's speaking to the children of Adam, the people of Israel. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are seized in the snare, so are the sons of Adam snared in an evil time. Okay, well, here we are in an evil time. When it falls suddenly upon them. We're in these last days in the tribulation. Pardon me. And you think this isn't an evil time? It's been evil. All the wars and the abortions and the murders and the violence and the riots and the crazy killings and the drugs and the disease. This is an evil time. Yes, it's a tribulation. Verse 13 is about wisdom and foolishness here. This wisdom I have seen also under the sun, that's in this world, just worldly wisdom, and it seemed great to me. Verse 14, there was a little city and few men within it. Okay, that's 3, 7, 6 men, which is male specific. All it does is indicate gender. It can also be used for animals, male animals. And few males within it. And there came a great king against it and surrounded it and built great bulwarks. Those are siege mounds against it. Verse 15. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no Adam remembered that same poor man. It doesn't specify who that was, but this is what he said he has seen. Verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. 9:59, and his words are not heard. Oh, how true. Verse 17, the words of wise men are heard in quietness more than the outcry of him that rules among fools. Ooh. Ow. Verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Boy, that's a proverb. He has his writing style, I'll say that. Now we go into chapter 10. I have about 20 minutes, and I'll probably be able to get her done. It's probably not that long. Listen to this. Dead flies cause the oil of the perfumer to spew forth a stinking odor. They stink like dead flies. So does a little folly him that is in esteem for wisdom and honor. It'll make you stink if you act like a fool, even though you've been a wise man. Well, that applied to Solomon. He did a lot of stupid stuff in his later years. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. These are all like little proverbs here. Again. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walks by the way, he lacks sense. And he says to every one that he is a fool. Just by opening his mouth and talking, people deem him a fool. Because he talks nonsense. Verse 4, if the spirit of the ruler rises up against you, leave not your place, for composure pacifies great offenses. In other words, don't run away. That shows guilt. Verse 5, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun in this world, as an error which proceeds from the ruler. In other words, when a king makes a mistake, it's a big mistake. Verse 6, folly is set in great heights, and the rich sit in a low place. Verse 7, I have seen servants upon horses, and nobles walking as servants upon the land. My, my, my. These rich people don't always keep their riches, and they get brought down. And the servant of another rich man is treated almost like royalty. He has great power in that man's household. Verse 8. And you can reference Psalm 7, verse 15, Proverbs 26, verse 27, and in your Apocrypha, Sirach 27, verses 26 and 27. He that digs a pit shall fall into it, and who breaks a stone fence, a serpent shall bite him, because it lived in the stone fence. Verse 9, whoever removes stones shall be hurt by them. You'll drop one on your foot. And he that cleaves wood shall be endangered by it. Tree might fall on you. Verse 10, if the iron be blunt and he does not whet the edge, then must he be stronger. Now we're chopping with a dull axe. But wisdom is an advantage for giving success. These are proverbs. Again, they're not in the book of Proverbs, but they're in the book of the assembler of sentences. The Koheleth. Verse 11, surely the serpent will bite without charming. And a master of tongue, that's a snake charmer, is no advantage. In other words, if you don't charm the snake, right, it's gonna bite. But the words aren't what charms. They wave that flute back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it hypnotizes the snake. That's the secret of it. Verse 12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. This is virtually Proverbs. This is great. Verse 13, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil madness. You listen to these guys rant on, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. They need to shut up. Like a lot of the Antifa, when you try to interview them and talk to them, like the reporters did, It's just psychobabble all the way. Blah, 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 blah. Verse 14, a fool also is full of words. And Adam cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? Because nobody's lived after him yet. Verse 15, the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them, because he knows not how to go to the city. Doesn't understand a lot. Verse 16. Woe to thee, O land, when your king is a young boy, immature ruler, and your officials eat in the morning. They have a big feast in the morning, and they sit around all day, not doing anything. Verse 17, blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles. In other words, he's got a good upbringing. And your officials eat in due time for strength and not for drunkenness. They eat properly. They're not just drunken revelers having cocktail parties and stuff like they do in Washington. Verse 18, by much laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of the hand, the house leaks. In other words, if you don't maintain your property, it's going to fall apart. Now you look at some of these tenement buildings were built new in the hood, and now they're slums. What's that tell you? Verse 19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers all things. In other words, you can pay somebody off to get what you want. Boy, is that done today. Verse 20. Curse not the king, no, not in your thought, and curse not the rich in your bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter. In other words, somebody's going to rat on you, like all these spies have got these officials. A lot of the British higher-ups were compromised by female spies. Well, that's 8, 9, and 10. And we've got about 10 minutes. There's only 10 verses to chapter 11. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's about a wise man. Verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters, for you shall find it after many days. It'll wash back up on the shore. In other words, talking about your words. If you speak wise words, like we try to do here, we speak the teachings of Yahweh. Well, it washes back up. People email us. People get in the chat room and make comments or have questions. It doesn't go out as worthlessness. It comes right back. Verse 2, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for you know not what evil shall be on the land. Verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the land, and if the tree falls toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. It doesn't matter. It's going to fall. And wherever it falls, there it is. I have a joke that I pull on people. I say, what does a great philosopher say? Oh, what? Well, wherever you go, there you are. And I just, oh, Well, that's the same thing with this tree. If it falls this way or it falls that way, it's a fallen tree. There it is. Verse 4. He that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap. They're worried about the weather. Well, you need to get your work done. And if it's going to rain, it's going to rain. After you've covered over your seed, it'll rain and water that field. So don't worry about it. Do your work. Verse 5. As you know not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones grow in the womb, that is full, okay, filled with a baby, even so you do not know the works of Elohim who makes all. You don't understand how God makes things. It's not given to us to understand. We're not that high in the pecking order. Verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening let lie not, in other words, don't let lie idle, your hand. In other words, you have to work from dawn to dark, for you know not whether this shall succeed, either this or that, or whether they both shall also be good. You have to be diligent and keep up on things. Truly, the light is sweet and a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold, the sun. It's nice on a sunny day. Oh, it's a beautiful sunny day. It's great to go out. Verse 8. But if an Adam lives many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that comes is vanity. It's all going to pass through. It's going to be neither good nor evil. It's just going to be happening. Here's advice to young people. Verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. And walk in the way of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know you that for all these things, Elohim will bring you into judgment. In other words, live your life, but be very careful how you live it. Verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your body, your flesh, literally. For childhood and youth are vanity. You grow up, and you're not like that anymore. Well, that ends chapter 11. So we got her done. It only had 10 verses. I'll be picking up with chapter 12, it looks like, on Monday. And it only has 14 verses. And then I will be going into Esther, so I am going to do along with the last of Ecclesiastes, I will do an explanation of a lot of the book of Esther, which is very much more complicated than the historical book that people recognize it as. It's got a lot of background. It's got a lot of deliberate mistranslation. I will be looking in the Septuagint while I do it. And it reads very differently than the King James. They have removed some things, references to Yahweh. They say, oh, it doesn't have the name of Yahweh in it. And it does. Just not in your King James. They've taken it out. It's been highly modified. And they have made it through deception and lies into a book that the Jews claim is all about the Jews. But it is not. It is about the people of the tribe of Judah, the Judeans, the last of the remnant when they were in captivity. And it tells how they triumph over an evil man. I'll get into that. I'll get into that on Monday. I don't want to get too far into it now, but I will finish Ecclesiastes with chapter 12 and then do a long detailed explanation to preface the book of Esther, because you're going to need to understand a lot of the things that I'm going to tell you to understand the book. More highly modified stuff by the enemy to change and to steal what is rightfully ours. It is not a story about the Jews. I will explain all of that. We've got our Pastor's Roundtable show on Fridays. It's a new show. This will be the third show this evening. So it comes on at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time before Yahweh's Covenant People. It is a call-in live show. It's a live show. And you can call area code 312-957-6104. That's area code 312-957-6104. And you can call into the show and ask questions or comments, or we will be monitoring both the show chat in the Chatango window, and we will be looking at the EFR studio audience chat, where you can post comments and questions, and we will answer them in the best of our abilities. It's going to be another fun show. We've had a lot of fun. We have a number of pastors on. Some come, some don't come. It depends on their personal schedule. But it's Eli James and myself and David James and Pastor Paul Mullett and usually Pastor Greg Howard. So we've got a whole lineup, and you get a lot of comments, a lot of questions answered. And people have enjoyed it so far. It's got a good audience, and everybody has a good time. We are very relaxed, and it's a fun thing. We're serious about the biblical questions and stuff, and we give good knowledge, but we enjoy the camaraderie with the audience. It gives you a chance to put your input in, and we want to make you feel like you're a participant. That you enjoy yourself too. And that's the whole thing. And then it's followed by Yahweh's Covenant People, which is another live show with Pastor Eli and myself and Greg Howard. So Yahweh bless, and we'll see you this evening. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. For